chapter 42, that when we do mitzvahs, the attitude is not just what you do, but it's how you do it. And of course, this is understandable. And we said many times, if you're doing something for a rich person, and you want to bring them a present, they don't need your present. So it's how you do it that matters, not what you're doing. And Hashem, God, obviously, is the richest and the most powerful of all entities anywhere above, outside creation. God is outside, obviously, all these things. So what does it mean we're doing a mitzvah? How do we make Hashem happy? We make Hashem happy with the way we do it. And it's not just what we're doing, it's how we're doing it. In the language of the Torah, we do the mitzvahs with Avas Hashem, love for God, and Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. And we explain that, of course, as with any emotion, there are levels to all of these emotions. So there's levels of love of Hashem, there's levels of fear of Hashem, and depending on where a person is holding, depending where a person is personally developed, and how much you yourself are into it, and so to speak, and how much you yourself have studied and your own personal character, that is going to reflect and that's going to be expressed in the way your emotional attachment to your creator is, to Hashem is. Some people are indifferent, other people are very excited. And when it comes to excited, some people are excited for one reason, other reason, everybody's different. That's the beauty of humanity. That's why Hashem creates so many people. Everybody's different. Every single person is like a big chorus, a big choir. What's the difference if you sing by yourself or if you sing with a huge choir? Thousands of people singing together is more beautiful. So Hashem has each of us, and every Jew is important, is necessary, is critical, actually. This is one of the things that we spoke about in the previous chapter, the idea that when we do a mitzvah, not only should we talk about our own personal attachment to Hashem, but also we should talk about and think about the idea that we are attaching ourselves on behalf of every other Jew. And we explain that the idea is that each Jew comes from the same pool of energy, the same source. So if I do something that helps me, by definition, it's going to help you. If you do something that helps you, by definition, it's going to help me. Because what we understand that the spiritual energy flow comes from Hashem, the source, God, the source of everything. And it flows down through the levels. And it flows down through the pool of energy that we're all connected to. Like in other words, if we're all connected, if we're all plants, we're all drawing from the same earth, and we're all drawing from the same rainwater. So if you make the rainwater better, you make the earth better, all the plants gain. So each of us, literally in the words of the Torah, we are called the plants of Hashem. We're called the product, the netzer mata'ai, the plants that Hashem planted us. Hashem gave us our existence, and just like a plant doesn't stay, in order to grow, has to be connected to its roots, so too, we, the Jewish people, have to be connected to our roots. Our roots is the source of the soul, Jewish soul in the spiritual world. And when we do a mitzvah, we add more energy to that pool, which is the source of our neshamas. And therefore, by definition, we also help every other Jew. So every mitzvah that we do not only helps us, but helps every other Jew. The Alter Rebbe mentioned that this is the concept that the Zohar talks about, that before doing a mitzvah, you're supposed to say, L'shem yichud kutzu brichu shchinte, in order to unite the two spiritual levels of kutzu brichu and the level of shchinte, shchina. And we explained that the neshamas are the level of the shchina. So all of this is amazingly powerful stuff we spoke about in chapter 41. In chapter 42, the beginning, we're about to conclude chapter 42 and move on to chapter 43. And we spoke about in chapter 42, we started talking about the various levels. That's what we're going to be talking about the next few chapters. Now that we made the general statement and the general understanding, which in fact, the Alter Rebbe did speak about earlier in Tanya, but now we're getting to much more detail, much more granular detail. In other words, the how-to. The beginning of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe made broad statements. It's important to love Hashem, fear Hashem. Now we're going to talk about actually on a granular level, on a practical level. Okay, it's important. So tell me what to do. How do I get to this thing? You know, this is Tanya is a spiritual self-help book. It's supposed to put us in the right frame of mind, each person according to the best of their ability. So in chapter 42, we spoke about the fear of Hashem on a lower level. And we said that this is something that we have received from Moshe. Moshe, our first teacher, the leader, Moses, who took us out of Egypt, he is not only a leader at that time, but Moshe is a leader continuing for all generations. And for several reasons. Reason number one is because we're studying the words of Moshe. So if you have a leader who told you something 1,000 years ago to your ancestors, and you're studying the same book, so he's your leader too. What's the difference? Obviously, we don't see Moshe, we can't speak to Moshe, but we're studying Moshe's teachings, the Torah, the Chumash. So that's on an obvious level. But then, on a deeper level, Moshe is a level of spirituality and connection to Hashem that each of our tzaddikim actually also fulfills that role. And this is something that we've spoken about again many times, which is a segue to what I just mentioned about the pool of energy of the neshamas, of the souls. Our souls are connected to each other. My soul to your soul to my soul. Every soul of every single Jew is connected to each other. Again, because we're all planted in the same forest. We're all plants growing out of the same earth. So we're all connected to each other. That means that our neshamas all come from a pool of energy that Hashem set aside that we've now called and described as the level of Shechinta, the Shechina. It's called the Makor, the source of Neshamas Yisrael, of the Jews. It's called Knesset Yisrael. There's many different synonyms that the Zohar uses for the pool of energy that Hashem sets aside. And from that pool draws individual souls, individual neshamas that power then individual bodies. But we all come from that pool. And we understand logically that when it comes to spirituality, as opposed to material things, spiritual things are always connected. Even when they are drawn off and put into different bodies, spiritual things are always connected. In the world of the spirit, time and space doesn't apply. Time and space is something that applies only in the world of the physical. As a matter of fact, parenthetically, and I love to keep mentioning this, that even in the world of the physical, there are hints, glimmers of physical thing to which time and space also don't apply, that are above time and space. Science, as science progresses, begins to understand or at least uncover and talk about these things. The quantum sparks that have a connection, if I do something here, something in Australia is going to be affected. We're not even talking about pool or ocean of water. We're not even talking about climate. We're not even talking about wind patterns or currents in the ocean. We're literally talking about two particles that are completely disassociated from each other on two sides of the world. And there is scientific effects articles that I've just seen come out in the last few weeks talking about how even in the physical world, there is some amazing, mystical, really, the only other way to say it, connection that, of course, applies absolutely in the spiritual world, where to begin with, time and space is not at all a way of measuring connection. So in the spiritual world, we're always connected. Our neshamas, our souls are always connected. And the souls, therefore, are hierarchical. What that means is that the greater neshamas, the souls of the great tzaddikim, are points in the energy flow that flows to us. So we take our energy, when I say we, I mean us simple neshamas, our simple Jews, we take our energy from Hashem, but through a pipeline. And the pipeline stops along the way, and it becomes the soul of great tzaddikim of the previous generations and of this current generation. And therefore, when a great tzaddik has a quality to themselves. A great tzaddik does something that makes them closer to Hashem. Again, it makes us closer to Hashem because they are a point. And so, for example, if I have a flow of water to my house, and all of a sudden, instead of having a 12-inch pipe outside, they change it, the city comes and changes it for a 24 or a 36-inch pipe. Well, the flow of water to my house is going to become that much more powerful. So the tzaddik is a pipe as a point in the pipeline. And therefore, when the tzaddik, it gets an elevation by serving Hashem a certain way, we get benefit from that too. And of course, even if we do something small, our other fellow Jews, brothers and sisters, Jews get elevation too, get more energy too. It's a win-win situation every time something positive is done by any Jew anywhere in the world, almost at any time, because it's a buildup in the spiritual world. Again, time is not a factor. We are above time in spiritual worlds. So Moshe, therefore, the soul of Moshe and the work of Moshe and this, the way that Moshe worshiped God, his service of the divine of Hashem, influences and affects us. And the Alter Rebbe mentioned the concept from the Zohar that there are seven general shepherds, seven general, spoke about this last week, several general, seven general shepherds, general great, great tzaddikim. Each one of them bequeaths and gives to the Jewish nation a certain type of ability to attach. Again, your work is not done for you. It's not like you don't have to work on your own, but the energy is there. At least the pool is accessible. At least you have the powers, the abilities like a coach. So we have seven coaches that are not just coaching us, but are also setting aside and giving us the energy to do what we have to do and worship God in the best, the most perfect possible way, become the most amazing spiritual entities that we could become. And what does Moshe specifically of the seven generation, of the seven shepherds, of the seven great tzaddikim do? Moshe is the one who gives us connection to Hashem. And this is what we spoke about, connection, which we call in Hebrew emunah, faith. Because there are various levels. Moshe teaches us, each and every soul, I'm reading now from the Tanya, each and every soul of the house of Israel comprises something within it of the quality of Moshe. What does Moshe do? Moshe is the one who's called the faithful shepherd. He draws down the quality of Da'as. Das is one of the 10 sephiros, one of the 10 levels that are in each world. And Moshe gives us the ability that we can connect to Hashem through an intellectual understanding. That's a very powerful type of connection. If you know something and understand something, then nobody can take that away from you. If somebody told you, believe just because, well, if somebody else comes and says, well, let me show you why the belief that you previously had is not 100% and why this and why you were mistaken, da, da, da. So your faith, so to speak, gets shaken because it's not based on knowledge. Moshe gives us the opportunity through teaching us his Torah. He gives us the opportunity to have a connection to Hashem, a faith in God that's based on knowledge. Now, faith and knowledge are not the same.
Rabbi, can I interrupt you for a second? So you said Moshe gives us connection to Hashem based on knowledge. So the other six give us some different type of connection? Maybe we'll get to it. I don't know.
Yes, the Alter Rebbe is not going to talk about it here in this chapter. But absolutely, Abraham is Av, is love, pure self-sacrifice for God, and which is above knowledge. Now, Yitzchak is a sense of Gevura. So the seven shepherds I mentioned to you last time, we talk about them on Sukkot specifically during the holiday of Sukkot. They each come to visit us in our Sukkah every one of the 7 days of Sukkot. They're called the Ushvizin. Ushvizin is an Aramaic word that means guests. It simply means a guest, and they come to our Sukkah. Each one comes every night, but every night, the delegation of seven is headed by another one. So this is obviously, we're talking about spiritual energies here, that we have the spiritual energy. So the Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are three patriarchs, right? Then comes Moshe, then comes Aharon, and then comes Yosef, the one who was the king of Egypt for 80 years. Yosef, and then comes David, King David, who was the first king of Israel. So it's Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. They reflect, they are embodiment. I mean, they're personification. That means their lives, each of them was the par excellence, the most perfect representation of one of the seven sefirot that start with Chesed. So it's Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. Each of these seven represent another level. In general, of course, the seven sefirot come from the first three of the ten sefirot, which is Chachma, Bina, and Das. And Moshe specifically is connected to Das. Moshe is the one who gives us Das, even though Moshe is also on the next level too of the seven sefirot. So if Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov is Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, so Moshe is Netzach. But that's connected to Das. I'm not going to get into all the thing right now. We will have a chance to talk about what is the power and the unique quality of each of the ten spheres. We spoke about it a little bit. El Rebbe really does get into this later on in Tanya. Not in these, you can't talk about everything in every chapter, you know. So anyway, Moshe is the one who gives us as a coach and even more as a conduit, as a link in a chain. Moshe gives us the ability to connect to Hashem through very strong connection through knowledge. And that means that, but more than knowledge, because if we are limited by our knowledge, everybody's knowledge is different. Then our connection is always, unfortunately not that great. If it's based on our knowledge, it's not that great, because we each of us know how poor and how limited our knowledge of things that we actually know about is very limited. How much more so things we have no clue and spiritual things that we can't even see. So what does this really mean? What it means is that Moshe gives the ability for faith to come down into clarity. The person says, I believe that one day I'll win the lottery. I believe that who knows what. I believe. But a person says, can you see this clearly? Like I absolutely see it. Like I can taste it. Like I can smell it. Like it's in my fingertips. That's how I believe. I believe that this is going to happen. I believe. So you go to an analyst, financial analyst, and say, do you believe? Clear. Obviously, there's no guarantees. But because they're talking about the things, external things. But we're talking about internal things now. So now I'm sure about it. I'm talking about myself now. So this is a very, very strong level of connection to Hashem. And it's faith that is informed by understanding. But still faith. It's still faith. Because faith, by definition, is a step above what you know. It's I know, and then a step beyond that is faith. We're soon going to see that the Alter Rebbe explains to us later in this chapter 42. The Alter Rebbe explains to us that the very word in Hebrew for faith is actually related and is the same word as training. So faith, real faith, is not pie in the sky. It's not I believe because I'm crazy, or I believe because I'd like to believe, or I believe because I need to believe, or I believe because I have nothing else to believe in. That's not what faith, that's not called faith. That's called being an idiot. That's called living in a fantasy world. So actually the better word for that would be fantasy. When we say the word emuna as a Jew, we believe in God, we believe in Hashem, we believe in our neshama. It doesn't mean that fantasy. I have a fantasy that there's a God. No, it means that based on this, the only logical conclusion is that there is something that is a little bit greater than I can even understand and know. So a person, every scientist does that. You know, it starts with a hypothesis, a theorem or a theory, and eventually maybe it's proven, maybe it's not. I mean, something as bedrock science as gravity, nobody has ever seen gravity. Nobody knows what gravity is. Nobody knows what a gravitational field is. We always see is the effect. So do we believe in gravity? Yeah, we believe in gravity because that's what happens. But is there something called gravity? Maybe not. Maybe there's nothing called gravity. Maybe the reason things are attracted to bodies that are greater than themselves, that have a larger mass than themselves, maybe it's because of some other reason. Who knows what? Gravity is a construct. It's a way of understanding the physical world. It's faith. Matter of fact, we're talking about gravity. See, this has another explanation for why things fall down. It doesn't mean there's no gravity, but it explains why gravity is gravity. And Einstein, of course, was looking for a theory, for a formula, rather to mathematically, explain gravity together with relativity and all these things. So again, science is looking for that neck. That's what scientists do. And as religious scientists, which is what the science of Torah, it's not fantasy. It is a religious science. It's the next step after you have exhausted all of your methodologies of using your human brain to understand what's happening around you and inside of you and before you. We then take the next step and we say the next little bit step, and that's called faith. But it's based on many, 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 many other smaller steps of actual observance, practice, empirical stuff, things that we can reproduce and see. So, for example, the fact that the Jewish nation has existed for 3,300 years plus, and the fact that everybody's trying to kill us and we're still here. Not only are we still here, but we are actually running the world. The anti-Semites are incorrect. We don't run their lives, but we do. Our ideas do. The Jewish ideas do. I'm never going to say that you look around at who's running the chief banks, all the top banks, and who's running this and who's running that. I mean, you begin to understand why the anti-Semites have complaints about the Jews, but because we're not living up, unfortunately, to our mission of being moral beacon. You know, if we were the moral beacon that we're supposed to be, the light unto the nations, then we would be really gold. But even in our current state, which is far from perfect, we are absolutely outsized influence on a world that's trying to kill us. It makes no logical sense. Unless you say that based on this and this, there must be some greater spiritual something that the Jewish nation has that the other nations don't have. And therefore, so again, this is what Emunah means. Let's go a little further inside the Tanya. And we're explaining now the service of the heart. The love and fear of Hashem is according to your degree of your knowledge and understanding of Hashem's greatness. And the Alter Rebbe quotes a pasuk, a verse that actually says that, know the God of your father, serve him with all your heart and a longing soul. In order to worship Hashem, you can't be living in a fantasy world. You have to live in the real world. Who lives in a fantasy? Not a smart Jew doesn't live in fantasy. A smart Jew lives in the real world, practical. So the more you know about the way the workings of the spiritual world, and this we know from our prophets and from our inner conviction and our own experience, and all these things put together, gives us a greater faith, a greater understanding. Our greater understanding gives a greater faith. And in fact, the Alter Rebbe says that when Mashiach comes, we're actually going to have yet greater understanding. In the future Messianic era, it is written, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, because everyone will say, you're not going to say to the person, know God, let me teach you about Hashem. They'll all know me. They'll see at that time, a teacher will be unnecessary. We're not in that time yet. And therefore, we have this need now when our experiential, the panorama of our experience, the horizon of our experiences is limited. That means that we are limited right now to what we can see, to what we can touch, to what we can taste, to what we can smell, to what we can hear. We're limited to our senses that are physical senses. In spite of the fact that we're limited to our physical senses, every single normal human being understands that there's something just beyond our physical sense. We all know this. I smell about this and I have this, I understand. Everybody who has, and the more experience you have in life, the more we know, there's a sixth sense, you can call it whatever you want. There is obviously some sense that we already have that's yet greater than the sum total of our physical senses. And this, we say, is this concept of faith. And again, The essential thing is to immerse one's mind deeply into these things, which explain the greatness of Hashem. The more we study about the greatness of Hashem, the more our mind becomes trained to see certain things. What's the difference between a scientist, a doctor, a lawyer, a person of any type of experience, and the same, that same person before that person had years and years and years of experience, same person. The difference is all of the knowledge that you have accumulated, which now allows you to understand things that you couldn't understand 30 years ago, plain and simple. That's the concept of knowledge. And knowledge is not just knowing discrete facts. When you know 50 or 100 or 1,000 individual facts, you don't have any more just those 100 or 1,000 facts. You're on a different level. You're a different individual. Everything you look at is now viewed in the lens or through the lens of those 1,000 facts that you have. You're looking at the next fact, fact number 1,001, event number 1,001, in a totally different way as you looked at it before you had the 1,000 experiences, the 1,000 facts, and so on. You are a different person. And this we call das, union, connection. That means you have now elevated yourself. You are now at a different level. You're somebody else. You're somewhere else. You're a higher level. Just as das entails knowing something to the point that one is completely united with it. That means before you thought and your mind worked a certain way. After you've studied this and that, your mind has now become attuned to and sensitized to looking at life and the world and events in a certain way. And therefore, everything you look at now, you're a different person, plain and simple. The same is true regarding knowledge of godliness. Although one just knows godliness, you're already fulfilling a mitzvah, this doesn't suffice. The more you meditate, the more you contemplate, the more you think about it, the more you become attached to this way of looking at yourself, your neshama, your connection, your God, and so on. This is, in one word, is called das. That's the way the Kabbalists call this entire attitude. Not only do you feel godliness, you become united with godliness, and even the fact of the matter is, the Alter Rebbe says, you already have it inside of you, you just don't realize it. It's like a person who already has the ability to understand because you have a brain, and you already have the ability to, let's say, to feel because you have a heart, but you've never exercised your brain and your heart, and you're a selfish, self-centered person because you haven't exercised doing favors for other people, and you haven't used your brain to think. So you're a shlub, plain and simple. You're undeveloped. You're a piece of, we call, in Hebrew we say you're a goylem. You're a clod. You're something that has a block of marble. Yes, it's true, beautiful, expensive marble, but you haven't sculpted the marble into a beautiful sculpture. There's a sculpture hiding inside that marble waiting to come out. So that's our job. Our job is to attach ourselves to Moshe. And Moshe is the coach, the teacher that teaches us this ability. Now, since the soul has clothed itself in a body, so what do we have now? A problem. So you have a person who has the ability to be able to, let's say, listen to a beautiful, beautiful concert and appreciate the music. And then you take cotton and you stuff it in your ears. So you stuff now. You've studied about music. You've studied about the different sounds and the harmonies and the chords and this and that. And then you go to a concert. You put cotton in your ears. So that's what Hashem did to us when Hashem put the neshama in a body. The neshama has the soul has this ability to connect to Hashem. But then Hashem takes the neshama and puts it in a body. So you need a great and mightier exertion, doubled and redoubled, in order to feel attached to Hashem. Why would Hashem do that to us? This is seems to be the cruelest, not only beside the point, useless, but cruel, actually. Why would you go to a concert, a person who really appreciates music, meaning the neshama, and then put cotton in your ears? It makes no sense. Of course, the answer is, we previously spent a long time, many chapters in the first parts of Tanya explaining, is because that through this effort of breaking through the barriers that Hashem has put up around us by giving us a physical body. We are elevating the physicality of the world. We're actually introducing yet more energy. So it would be the same as a person saying, my ears are just fine. Why do I need to have, better headphones? Let me just listen with my ears. Or why do I need to have some other thing that helps me? And the answer is, the physical world is also a creation of Hashem. And we previously explained, not to get into this right now, because this we really did talk about at very great length in the earlier chapters, all the 20s and early 30s of chapters, Tanya, that Hashem it gives the yet greater energy to the material world, and it's our job to push back what we call the klipa, the covering. And by pushing back the klipa, we actually bring out, just like squeezing out an olive, we bring out olive oil. By pushing and crushing the klipa, we actually bring out yet greater energy. So it was actually a net gain from this effort. And this is sort of what we're also mentioning is here, exertion of the flesh and exertion of the soul. To throw off the bodily shackles, to pound the body, to weaken its corporeality, meaning not to give in to our physical desires. So there's two ways, the Alter Rebbe says, to unstuff our ears from that katan, to be able to feel what our neshama feels, even though our neshama, our soul, is in a physical material body and living in a physical material world. And the first way is, don't give in to your physical desires, for whatever it is, whatever a person's desire happens to be. Become a master over your physical desires. That's called exertion of the flesh. In Hebrew, yigias basar. Throw off the bodily shackles. Don't let your body run your soul. Meaning, if your mind and your spirit wants a certain thing and understands and feels that this is a valuable thing, and your body wants, your material side wants something else that's contradiction to it, don't listen. Now, it doesn't mean it's easy. It's very difficult. If it would be easy, each of us would be the greatest of tzaddikim. And also, there would be no gain. And just like in exercise, no pain, no gain. In spirituality, no pain, no gain. The more we work at our refining our material state, the more we have actually refined ourselves. The more we've actually made our body not no longer a block, but actually an enhancement of our neshama. Again, because the body is a creation of Hashem and our spiritual. So that's the first thing. And the Zohar mentioned above, as we mentioned above, in the name of the Zohar, the body which lighted the soul is not penetrated should be crushed. This means, doesn't mean to beat yourself up, but it does mean to reflect and not to give in to the material things that your body wants. The second level, of course, is now that a person is no longer bound by the material needs, by the material urges. The second is exertion of the soul, to reveal the powers of the soul. The service of exerting one's thought, not to be burdensome to it, to delve into, reflect upon the greatness of God for long interpretation. That means that a person should train themselves to use their brain, to think. Again, this is something that we're not accustomed to do, especially in our times today when everything is instantaneous and you don't have to even think about calculations, adding, subtracting. You used to have to think. You don't have to think AI is now going to take away the need for thinking about writing and composing paragraphs. And so we're stopping to think. Terrible thing. So the Alter Rebbe is writing here that when a person doesn't think, then why are you better than an animal? Then you Hashem gave us a brain to think, and then we don't use it. So just like you want to be exercising your muscles, you want it, your heart should be healthy and your muscles should be healthy. The most important muscle that a person has that really distinguishes us humans from animals and from plants is our brain. So you have to exercise your brain. And the brain is the powers of the soul. This we're talking about, your power of thinking. Not to think about and to meditate and so on for long measures of time, not just for 2 seconds. The measure of time, Delta Rebbe says, that one person needs to get excited about something is not the same as what another person needs. And even if a person gets excited right away from hearing a concept, the more you think about it, the more connected you will be to that concept. There is the naturally refined soul, Delta Rebbe says, that is immediately attains a fear and dread of Hashem thinking about God. And then there is a soul of lowly nature that comes from the lower levels, because each soul comes from somewhere in the spiritual pipeline. And that soul is unable to discover godliness by contemplation, unless that soul uses a lot of forceful insistence, especially if the soul not only comes from a lower level, but also has become corrupted by doing all kinds of sins. And the sins is not just cotton in your ears, the sins actually is tar that is completely covering you. So how are you supposed to appreciate spirituality if you have covered yourself by virtue of your own misdeeds with all kinds of disconnections and all kinds of connections to the material world? How can a person goes into a fine restaurant and the chef says this food is the finest ingredients and the wine is the most amazing wine, and the scotch and the liquor, whatever it is, the most amazing liquor, and here, let me serve it to you, and the person eats it and says, I can't understand why people would pay money for this more than going and eating a hamburger, you know, because you have no palate. Your palate is messed up. You've been eating and drinking all kinds of junk, even to maybe not unhealthy junk, but just, you know, ordinary stuff. You don't have a developed palate, plain and simple. And the same, of course, is true when it comes to spirituality, but 10 times more true than that, because it's so much easier to become corrupted in the spiritual world. So the smallest sin that we do, attaching ourselves to the materialistic side, is each one of those acts is taking us away from appreciation of spirituality. Nevertheless, since we do have a neshama, and the neshama is never diminished, it's just covered up with difficulty, with forceful effort, when his thoughts greatly exert itself with vigor and great toil, it will certainly come to the lower level of fear referred above, enough to prevent it from doing something opposed to God's will. The sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe says that a long time doesn't even have to mean a long time at one shot, because spiritual connection is cumulative. A minute today and a minute tomorrow and a minute the next day, especially an hour today and an hour tomorrow, all adds up. There's muscle memory when it comes to exercise, and there's also soul memory when it comes to spirituality. So therefore, when a person works on these two levels, as we mentioned before, not giving in to your baser desires, to materialistic desires. Every time you want something that you know intellectually and instinctively is not going to help you in your connection to spirituality, you push that away. That's the first step. And then when you think about the concepts that we're studying about in Torah and this and that, the more you think, the more you meditate, the more you think about Hashem, the more you think about these things, it all makes us more spiritually aware, more spiritually sensitive. And then all of a sudden, after a period of time, we take a look at ourselves and we say, I'm not the same person I used to be. Things that were difficult or even impossible for me to do, now it's second nature. I'm the same human being. I haven't changed. What did change is my awareness. What did change is my connection to what? My connection to myself, to my own neshama, my awareness of my own inner strength, inner power, inner soul, and my awareness of the world around me and my place, and I become a different person. That's exactly what happens. So that is the point. The point of the Torah and the point of the mystical parts of Torah is to give us this ability. As I mentioned before, Tanya is the ultimate self-help book. As the rabbis of blessed memory have said, if a man says, I have labored and I have found, believe him. If a person says, I worked hard and I succeeded, believe him, because if you worked hard, you will succeed. It is also written in regard to the success one achieves when you want to attain the fear of God. If you seek it like money, just like a person works hard to make money, And if a person does not earn what they're expecting to earn, obviously, if you want to earn $1 million and you become a shoeshine guy, you're not going to earn $1 million. But if you're going to go into a certain line of work, and in that line of work, it's normal and it's understood that you're going to earn a certain amount, and you don't earn that amount, you're doing something wrong, plain and simple. It could be a terrible mazel, who knows, Hashem doesn't want. But in the ordinary course, if everybody else is doing something and you're not doing it, so you're doing something wrong. So you got to seek it like you seek money, just like when a person seeks money. They set themselves up and they do certain things that they know is going to produce the profit that they're looking for. The same is true of spiritual connection. If you don't care and you're not looking for a spiritual connection, you're never going to find it. But if you seek it like money and you search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of God. This means, in the manner of a person seeking a hidden treasure buried in the depths of the earth, which he digs with tireless toil, because you know it's surely buried there, so too a person has to have incredible exertion to uncover that wellspring, that the treasure trove of connection to Hashem, which we're calling here the fear of heaven, connection to Hashem, which lies buried and concealed in the heart of every Jew. And this is a natural hidden fear referred above. Then we have to translate this into action. Okay, so fine, we've got to do something. You want to translate your natural attitude into actually making you work and do things differently in the real world. So yeah, everybody understands that it's not enough just to have your head screwed on straight. You also have to apply it. And this then requires that you should immerse your thoughts for a lengthy period of time till the effect will absolutely come from the potential into the actual. And then you will actually turn away from evil. You will do good in thought, speech, and action, because you will be at that point so aware that God is looking at you and expecting things from you, you will be impossible for you to do anything differently. As the rabbis of blessed memory have said, reflect on three things and you will not come to sin. If you know that there is an eye that sees and an ear that hears, although of course Hashem doesn't have a body, how can we say that Hashem has an eye and an ear? On the contrary, because Hashem doesn't have an eye and an ear, he's not limited. Therefore, he knows everything. Because Hashem is everywhere. A person has one eye, one ear, 50 eyes and 50 ears, you can only be in 50 places. But Hashem doesn't know through eyes and ears. Hashem knows because he is the creator, because we are extensions of his energy. And therefore, just like we know what's happening with every part of our body at any given moment, because we have nerves that go throughout our entire body, Hashem, who creates everything in the world, knows everything that's happening. And therefore, when a person thinks about this, said, how could I do something that God doesn't want me to do if Hashem is looking at me in this moment? Now, obviously, in order for that to actually affect our way of acting, you got to think about it, and you have to think about it at length. So, as we said a few paragraphs above, God knows all that befalls all created beings because they all receive their flow of life from him. This is the meaning of what we say, no creature is hidden from you. As Rambam has said, that by knowing himself, Hashem knows all of creation. At the same time, we have to understand that Hashem is not affected by what the world does. Hashem is standing above it. And in order to understand this differentiation, on the one side, Hashem knows everything because he is the source of the creation of everything and the creator of everything. On the other hand, Hashem is not affected at all if we act one way or the other. So in order to explain this, you have to explain, Alter Rebbe says, what the Kabbalists have explained, the two levels. We talked about this also many times, the two levels of spiritual energy that Hashem puts into the world, the level of Sovek, the level of Amale, the level of energy that is transcendent, that doesn't enter into the various levels of the world, versus the level of energy that is according to each level of creation, which we've spoken about also many times.